They have got lesson plans that are in use. They don't say HSUS on them, but they've got lesson plans that are being used in your school, I'll bet you anything, that don't necessarily come right out and say that farmers and ranchers are bad, but they are telling our kids amazing things about cattle and about what we do every day. We need to be there. We need to be talking to these kids and showing them other viewpoints. That's so important. One other thought about school presentations that would make life really easy to connect. If you're kind of sort of nervous and don't know exactly what you want to do, just call into your local school and say, hey, I've got a book I would love to come read to your kindergarten and first grade class. I've got a couple of different books that you can talk to me afterwards and I'll give you the names of because I can't come up with them right this second. But that I just took in and just for their story time, one day I just went from classroom to classroom, which was two classrooms in White City, but you know what I'm saying, and just took 10 minutes to just sit down with the kids and read a story to them. The teacher does that every day. So she liked having somebody new come in and read to them. And that was an awesome opportunity for me to have that introduction to those kids. Another really cool way that you can advocate really easily is grocery store samples. And you say, oh, well, I don't know how to get in with the grocery store. I got to tell you how I got in with this one. This is a Ray's Apple Market in Manhattan, and they are the one that's licensed to sell certified Angus beef in Manhattan, Kansas. I was shopping there because it was brand new opened. I'm shopping there with my little boys. They were little boys then. And they're still little boys, even though they're taller than me. But anyway, I'm shopping with my boys, and they're handing out sushi samples. And I said, hey, come on, guys, let's try sushi. I go, no, I'm not going to try that. That's gross. So I tried sushi. It was okay. It was, you know. I said, so I asked the gal, do you ever hand out beef samples? She goes, oh, yeah, of course we do. We've got this big meat sale coming up in a couple of weeks, and we'll hand out some beef samples. I said, well, I'll tell you what. I would love to come in and hand out beef samples for you. Okay, yeah, sure you would. Okay. And go on. I said, no, seriously. This is certified Angus beef. I raise that. I'm the person that's making that product. I would really, really like to come in and hand out samples for you. Here's my card. She was not a manager, but she went and found her manager. And I'm finishing up my shopping thinking, well, I don't know if I'll hear from him. Maybe I'll find the manager and I'll tell him. He came and found me. And in 2 weeks, my daughter and my mom and I we're handing out grocery store samples all day long in the Ray's Apple Market. It was way cool. We coordinated with CAB. They provided the meat. It was really easy. Cooked it on a little George Foreman grill. I had the most amazing questions. The one that I really got a kick out of, though, was a guy that was coming, and I can share this with this audience because we're all about quality beef. But a couple of audiences, I have to be a little more careful because, you know, select beef is important, too. But this guy was coming, and he said, yeah, I'm buying steaks for my girlfriend. I'm cooking dinner tonight, and he's throwing them in his deal. And I went, you want to impress her, right? I said, let me help you pick out some steaks for the same cost. Let me help you pick out some steaks. So we went over and I talked to him about marbling and if you're going to grill them, let's get these steaks. And they were practically the same cost. But I taught that kid how to pick a good steak. What did I do with that? I made a personal connection and I hopefully, pretty darn sure, I gave him a better eating experience than the one he was going to have. Whether he fed it to his girlfriend or not, whether she was impressed or not, I don't know. But, you know, when you've got marbling in your steak, you have a little more leeway of how you're going to cook it. If you've got a really lean steak, you know you're going to have to cook it pretty carefully, pretty low, and not overcook it. But if you got a little marbling, you can overcook it a touch. So I think I helped that kid out. I also want to point out to you, when we're talking about grocery stores, I have handed out grocery store samples in Manhattan, Kansas, and Manhattan, New York. Duane and I went to Manhattan or to New York and handed out samples. I got the exact same questions. Consumers everywhere just want to know that their food is safe and healthy, and they want to know who's raising it. So we did get questions, didn't we, Duane, about people were asking, so did you raise this? You know, and I said, no, I didn't necessarily raise that steak right there, but I'm going to tell you the people that did are just like me. So I never tried to push my product. You can't buy Debbie's beef anywhere. So whether in a grocery store or a supermarket, I always say what you're buying in a grocery store or in a restaurant is mine. I'm just like everybody else out there, and we're doing a good job about this. Back to the farm and ranch tour, we have a local feed yard that we feed our cattle out at. And they told me a story one time about a tour group. I think it was either dietitians or chefs. I can't remember which one it was. But they came through, and they were getting to see a CAFO for the first time. And they went through the tour and went through all the, you know, up and down the whole Penrose and everything like that. Got through and were doing their question and answer session. And the one lady that was really, really negative and really, really, you know, kind of argumentative said, okay, that was all well and good. Those cattle are fine. Now show us the real confined animal feeding operation. They said, this is it. This is real. This is what we do every day. My point with that is, imagination and perception are sometimes much more powerful than reality. And if you don't have reality, they're going to come up with a story. They're going to come up with what they imagine that we're doing out here. And so if we can give them a tour, whether it's a virtual tour or an on-farm tour, we're actually giving them that opportunity to see reality. And I'm not sure she went home really, truly believing that all CAFOs are like this CAFO, which is a fairly small CAFO. But seriously, you give the same kind of pen space. I don't care how many you have in a pen. If you've got a pen of 50, it's a smaller pen. You know, you're not going to put only 50 in a great big huge pen that's meant for 150. So she went home with an idea. We'll see if that will, you know, bear fruit later. But at least maybe the next time she hears about it, she'll say, you know, I saw that a CAFO one time, and it was more like this than I thought. So grocery store samples is a great way to connect with people, and it's really simple. You can get in there just absolutely easily and be able to spend time directly, one-on-one with people. I don't know if everybody's seen this, but it's quite a bit old. So a few years ago, Yellowtail Wine announced that they were going to donate $100,000 to the Humane Society of the United States. And an advocate from South Dakota, his name is Troy Hadrick, this wasn't getting any play in the news. This was not a big deal at all. And I do this story for many, many reasons. One is because I want to show you how sneaky the HSUS is and how really good they are at fundraising, at making connections, and how really bad we are at that. They got to Yellowtail Wine and convinced them that they needed, I can't remember exactly, but it was like paused, tails to paws, something, you know, some catchy little thing that they were talking about. And so they convinced these Yellowtail Wine people that they needed to donate to save puppies and kittens, all right? And that's what the kind of group they are. Think about this. Yellowtail Wine is absolutely dependent on farmers to grow grapes. HSUS is trying to put farmers and ranchers out of business. This is not a good partnership. So this wasn't getting much play in the media, not in the ag media, not in any kind of media. Troy Hadrick, who has been an advocate for a number of years, saw this on Twitter. He's following a hunting organization on Twitter, and they tweeted this out as a link, and he got mad. He was really upset by this, and he called Yellowtail Wine in Australia, dialed up the CEO, tried to talk to him, left a message, tried him again. Left a message, never got a call back. Troy was getting really frustrated because nobody's listening to him, and he says, this is absolutely awful. We need to fix this. So he said, all right, I don't know what else I can do to get their attention. I'm going to make a YouTube video. As soon as he made this video, it went crazy viral. Let's show it now, please, Scott.
Hello, my name is Troy Hadrick. I'm a fifth-generation United States rancher in South Dakota. I recently found out that Yellowtail Wines is going to be donating $100,000 to the wealthiest animal rights organization in the world, the Humane Society of the United States, a group who is actively trying to put farmers and ranchers out of business in this country. That being said, I cannot and will not support a company who's doing such a thing. This is the only thing I know to do now with this last bottle of Yellowtail Wine that was in our house.
I love the cattle. They're just standing there.
I hope you will do the same. Thank you for supporting American agriculture and the family farmers and ranchers in this country.
All right, so as soon as this, yeah, he's awesome. He is absolutely awesome. As soon as this hit the airwaves, everybody just laughed like you all. And then what do you do when you like something on Facebook? You share it. You spread the word. So that's what they call it went viral. It was just like a virus. It went crazy all over the world on Twitter and Facebook and just went crazy. And guess what? Yellowtail Wine calls up Troy Hadrick. Hello? May we please talk about this? Because we don't know what you're talking about. We don't understand what you're saying here. Troy got the chance to explain to them that the HSUS is not a farmer's friend, that they are definitely working hard to put us out of business. Well, the Yellowtail Wine said, I'm really sorry. We cannot stop our donation. We've already committed $100,000, but this was supposed to be an annual program, and we will never give money to them again. So to me, that's a big show of the power of Twitter, because Troy picked up on a story that was not making the local news, was not making the national news, wasn't out there at all. He picked up on this story, and it's the power of YouTube and all of us sharing that information, because it spread, it reached the right people. You know, I don't know if the CEO has YouTube or can watch YouTube, but I would imagine somebody said, hey, you got to watch this video. We're looking really bad here. And so it made them call and contact Troy. A couple of things that I want to point out in that video, too. One of the things that Troy always says, and I think it's got a lot of power, is he's a fifth-generation rancher. I don't think that rings 100% clear to city people, because they don't really pass down a job like we do. Where are you? What kind of kids want to do exactly the job that mom and dad are doing? On a farm, they do. That's the kind of kids that want to do exactly. And so to tell them that we're a fifth-generation farm and ranch, you know, I think he could word that slightly differently and have much more impact on the consumer. I think he could say that my great-great-great-grandfather homesteaded this. He could say that somebody, one of my ancestors, has been raising cattle on this land for 150 years. I mean, I think he could give a little more power to that comment. And that's not lying. It's just twisting slightly how you say things. In addition, he always says he's a rancher. Okay, not long ago in the 90s, we were told to think of ourselves as beef producers. And I really appreciate David having us put on our meat shirt to make, you know, think of ourselves as a meat producer earlier. But you know what? To a consumer, if I say I'm a beef producer, they go, beep, factory farm. So I always call myself a cattle rancher. What do you think of when you think of a rancher? It's kind of like what John was talking about. You talk about those cowboys. Are they really still out there? Yes, they are. And they're real. Now, we don't use horses, but we do still do quite a bit. We have four-wheelers for ours. But it's, you know, it's similar. I think the words we use are really important. The most recent one that I think is a great example of that as well is the NCBA, through the Beef Checkoff, has encouraged us to quit calling ourselves the beef industry. Once again, that's a key word. That's a buzzword that says factory farm. We are the beef community. And you know what? That's so true. Because I look around, the people from Kansas that are here today, I think of them as my neighbors, my cohorts, my peers. They don't live anywhere near me, but they are in that same community. We are a community, from seed stock people to cow-calf people, all the way out to the people who sell our product. We are a community, and we have different people within that community. So that's just one little tweak that we need to try to do. To keep in mind how we connect with consumers. So these are just some examples of some things that I've talked about on my blog. This is a story about, this is an early on one. Oh gosh, Dwayne, this is a story I tell about you. Okay, so here we go. he's never heard my speech before, so this is the first time. So we have one hired man that helps us chore and feed cattle in the winter and then tag calves. And he had said, Debbie, I saw there was a cow in labor in the maternity pasture, and you might want to check her in about a half an hour or so. So I went out with a truck, and I had been working on probably Angus records, trying to get everything together for the sale. But and I was in sweats and just, I don't know, flip-flops or something like that in the winter. Terrible timing. So I just thought, well, it's a cow. She's going to be fine. I'm just going to zip out there, and I'm just going to see in the truck, and she's going to be fine. Well, I couldn't find her. I'm driving around through this pasture, and I was like, stupid Todd. He can't even write a number down right. You know, I'm like, whatever. So I went one more swing past, and I came back, and I saw a cow on the other side of the fence. She'd gotten off out of the fence and was on the other side of the creek, looking down into the frozen creek. What does that tell you? She had a calf on the ice. And I'm like, oh, crap. So I call. Who do I call? Dwayne. He's 30 miles away. Dwayne, this cow's got a calf on the ice. He goes, what do you want me to do about it? I don't know. But I was mad, and I wanted him to do something about it. Well, I couldn't. So anyway, I tried then the hired man again. I tried Todd, and of course, he wasn't answering his phone, which is really smart of him, right? He takes off and doesn't answer his phone. So I'm like, okay, I guess I got to do something. I'm just going to, you know, jump down on the ice and just drag it off. I didn't know what I could do. Well, you can see in that picture, it's a crappy picture, but you can see in that picture that she started breaking the ice. She's walking out on that ice and she's starting to break it. I'm thinking, oh, geez, it's going to break on me. You know, what am I going to do? So what's the first thing I do? I get up my cell phone and take a picture. Because, you know, this will be a good blog post someday, right? So I got a good picture. And then I put my phone in the truck and I take off my shoes and, you know, I'm thinking, because I'm not wearing the right clothes to do this, and I'm thinking I'm going in the water. And, you know, the only thing on my brain is I got to keep that calf's head above water when I go down. I'm just trying to think, how am I going to do this? And this is going to be awful. Well, so I jump down and she starts coming out on the ice again and she's going to break through this ice, and I'm freaking and I'm jumping and the ice starts popping around me. I'm ready for an ice cold bath, but it held. And I just grabbed the calf and pulled him up onto the bank on this side. Now, the trick was then when Todd finally did come back to get that stupid cow back over on this side of the bank. But so I saved that calf's life. So when I went home that evening, I wrote a blog post entitled, I Saved His Life. And it went nuts. People were interested in what a farmer or rancher will do to save a calf. It's not anything you guys wouldn't do every single day. It's nothing fancy. I just told the story with one picture. We talk about vaccinations. This is my son. One of the things, too, that I think that I like to talk about, that I think all of you need to be ready to talk about, is beef quality assurance and certification for BQA. Guys, we do things right. We do it for a reason. BQA is a wonderful story. Back years ago, you know, we'd give every shot in the hip. It was quick and easy, simple way to do it. We have learned through BQA that is a bad thing to do. So where do we give shots now? In the neck, where there's very little that's actually consumed, and it's a lot safer, and it's actually very simple. But guess what? They had to redesign chutes in order to get us access to the neck. That made a big difference. But so this is a blog post explaining why we give a shot in the neck, why we vaccinate, and also working with my kids. I give recipes. This is one that has made it on a lot of different websites. It's a beef enchilada soup recipe, which goes in a crock pot and it makes life really easy. And then I love to just share pictures on a farm, because working on a farm is really a beautiful place to be, and working with your family is the absolute coolest thing. I mean, what kind of jobs can you work with your kids? I love to tell the story about, I think one of the very best jobs for kids to learn and to tie them to the farm is cutting hay. Because you drive into a field and it's all standing hay. You start going around with your tractor and swather behind you, or, you know, however you do it, if it's a self-propelled swather, you are driving along and you're knocking down. You see the progress that you're making. You learn how to, you know, go over terraces. You learn how to follow the contours of the land. You learn about the land. You learn where the grass is thicker. You're talking about, you're thinking about making feed for your cattle for the winter. What better way to tie a kid to the land than swathing hay? We love it. So our kids get a lot of time on the tractor. So there's just a few tips that I want to make sure that y'all don't forget. Make connections. Listen, don't just talk. When I go on Twitter, I'll ask a question and see what kind of moms are out there that day and which ones, what are they responding to me about. What kind of things are happening on Twitter? I want to point out to you that the beta agonist discussion really has not done much on Twitter. Social media has pretty much left it alone. At this stage, we're just kind of letting that happen until we see what the tests show, what they shake out. So we're prepared to follow up on Twitter with more information about beta agonists, because we don't want the same kind of mess that we had with pink slime. We left that alone way too long, and that's money out of your pocket. We did not follow up on that because I don't know whose position, whose opportunity was that? Whose responsibility was it to follow up on pink slime and explain that? Well, I don't know, but it hurt me, so I should have been following up earlier. So we're ready with beta agonists. We're ready to start talking about it, but we're not going to get started until there's a little more talk on Twitter and we get some results in from some of the tests that they're talking about. Look for ways to relate. I connect with moms. My friend Barb connects with marathon runners, people who are health conscious. Who can you connect with? Can you connect with dads? Can you connect with people who golf? Can you connect with people who knit? What kind of a group can you connect with? Do you like kids? Do you have grandkids in your local school? Can you go talk to those classes because you have a grandkid in that class or a daughter in that class or whatever? Can you connect? Are your children school teachers? Can they get you in connection with some of those schools? Just look. Everybody has a way that they can relate. So use the appropriate terminology. Don't give us those buzzwords that will make people think of a factory farm. I call myself a rancher, and I tell them that I raise cattle in the traditional way. And I don't knock the other ways. I'll say that again. I don't knock the other ways. If you're eating beef, I'm all for that. But I do raise cattle the traditional way. And people are asking where their food comes from. They are becoming grocery store snobs, like Shannon, my husband's cousin's daughter. She goes to the grocery store, and the people around her at the checkout aisle are looking in her cart and saying, "Hey, I see you have milk in a plastic gallon. I can't believe you're doing that to your kids." And she can respond and say, "You know what? It is the exact same thing that you've got in your glass container there. It's the exact same milk, and I feel very good with this." Now, one of the things that Shannon told me about that is, "Debbie, I'm so glad you told me this because I can't afford the special stuff." Hey, she's trying to make ends meet too. She said, "It's crazy to spend twice," and that was in 2009. I can't even remember what milk prices were then, but I'll tell you what, I can spend upwards of $4 a gallon today for milk. Thank goodness some of them just went off to college. Only have a couple of them left at home. Anyway, so we have a great story to tell. We just need more people telling that story, whether it's on social media or whether it's on face-to-face, whether it's just, you know, stopping by. I don't have to buy beef in a grocery store, but I swing by that beef counter just to see who's there and what they're looking at. And if they're sitting there saying, "I don't know what a flat iron steak is," I can say, "I do. It's great," and explain to them what it is. Right? So I connect with people almost every time I go grocery shopping. Can you imagine? Okay, I have two quotes that I want to give you right now. This is to wrap it all up. Troy Hadrick, the fellow with the yellowtail wine, says, "My time online is as important to the future of my ranch as my time with the cows." And he said that during a Twitter chat in about 2010, I think. It was an online chat, and that's a great way to make connections. Is specifically, it's a targeted over one specific topic. Everybody comes together and uses the same keyword and kind of connects in this Twitter chat. And Troy was chatting. It was an interview, and there's hundreds of thousands of people watching it. Okay, I'm not saying that they're all reading it all the time, but every single person that follows Troy heard him say that. And I think that's so important, that we make time in whatever way we can to connect with our end consumers. It's really important. And the other quote that I have for you today is, I heard it at an NCBA Property Rights and Environmental Management Committee meeting, and it was, "Blessed is he who delayeth not the lunch." So I really hate being the person right before lunchtime. So I'm going to finish early. Look at that. I have 4 minutes left. So I guess if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them, but I may have just overwhelmed everybody and put you to sleep. So... no questions? Well, if anybody wants to talk a little bit further about how to get on Twitter, or if you want, you know, want to connect with me on that kind of thing, I'm going to be around. We're really excited about touring here in New York and being with you people that are kind of people that I look up to. And my mom bought my sister and I a membership to the American Angus Association back in 1977. I don't think she knew what she was starting. She also bought each one of my kids their junior membership, and that was before they even left the hospital. I think they might have been. And you all probably do the exact same thing for your kids and grandkids, but before they even were home from the hospital, they were members of the American Ag Association. So, oh, yes, ma'am.
This is very mundane, but if you were trying to connect with your local school, what's your best avenue? Would you go to administration, individual teacher?
Okay, so to make sure everybody heard her question, she said, who would you contact if you want to make a contact in the school? Who would you make contact with? I think it would depend on who. Do you have somebody that you already know in the school? If you do not know somebody in the school, I think I'd probably go to a principal or an assistant principal first. And I would say, "Hey, I love kids. I'd really like to come in and read a book to them in your second grade class. Can you put me in contact with your second grade teachers or whatever level?" And then I would let administration encourage and make that contact. But it would be awesome if you already had somebody that you knew, even if they're not a lower level grade that you want to talk to. If, like, you know a high school teacher and you'd say, hey, get me in with those grade levels that can, you know, introduce me to those teachers that they would be interested in having me. Because frankly, when I offered to come in and just read a book to these kids, the teachers went nuts. Oh yeah, that'd be great. Can you come tomorrow? I mean, they were so excited to have somebody different in the classroom and give these kids some other opportunities. So I would just make a phone call and see if you can't talk. And if you can't get a hold of the principal, talk to the secretary. Talk to whoever you can, whoever answers the phone that's not a student. But and see who they can connect you with. Because for the most part, if you can get your foot in the door, then you can make those contacts. But remember, they're all teaching with a limited amount of time now. So we don't want to go in and say, we've got these lesson plans, I've got 3 days of things that we can do. You know, we don't want to take up much of their time because they're all teaching to the test. I'm sorry, they have to. But I think we can show them that this fits into their teaching. Especially like the younger grades that read a book every day, that's no big deal. And they're another thing that we found is they're operating on smaller and smaller budgets, so they don't get to necessarily take a field trip every year. So if you can take a cow and calf just out to the football field and let them all come to the football field and see it, that's cheap and it's different and the teachers love it. Well, thank you all very, very much. I'll be around for the next 2 days.